Let me wish all of you, both visible and invisible, a very happy new year. And when I say invisible, now I'm not in any wise minimizing our radio audience. It was my privilege for 30 years to conduct a broadcast, and during those 30 years, my radio congregation became very, very real to me. As I would come before the microphone week to week, I could visualize many, because many had contacted us personally, many had written, and we felt we had many friends that we hadn't even seen. And so to one and all of you, I say this morning, a very happy new year. And in just a few minutes, I'm going to tell you how you can have a happy new year. And I'm going to tell you that not on my experience of over 70 years, but on the authority of the Word of God. So I'm going to ask you this morning, on this first day of the first week of the first month of a new year, to turn to the first verse of the first chapter of the first book in the Bible. Now that's one that you'll certainly not have any difficulty in finding, isn't it? And we're going to read just that first verse. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Most of you know that the opening book in our Bible, Genesis, the meaning of that, of course, is both in the English and in the Hebrew in which it was originally written, means the beginning or the origin. And in this book, we have some very interesting and very important beginnings. But that's not my subject this morning. In the verse that we have read, we have the opening account of the creation story. And this first chapter of Genesis is a tremendous one. Sometimes in the past at Bible conferences, I have preached for 2 weeks every day from this first chapter of Genesis. And even when we've done that, we've just scratched the surface. But that's not my subject this morning. My subject is in the first 4 words of our verse. In the beginning, God. And my subject this morning is the best beginning for 1984. In fact, I think we could make it a little stronger than that. We could say the only wise beginning for 1984. What is that? In the beginning, God. Beginning the year with God is the best beginning. In fact, it's the only wise beginning. Now, the majority of people in the world, sad to say, are not going to begin 1984 in that way. In the 14th Psalm, you'll have these words. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. That is generally taken as an atheistic denial of the existence of God, and that may be so, because tragically there are still those who qualify as fools of the first water by declaring that there's no God. But if you look closely at that verse in your Bible, in Psalm 14, you will see that the words "there is" are in italics. That means that they were not in the original Hebrew. And so, this is the way it reads. The fool has said in his heart, no God, no God. Now it may be what the psalmist is telling us is not so much an atheistic denial of the existence of God, but rather a total rejection of God in the life of that individual. Now, certainly that is the most foolish way to begin 1984. In the beginning of 1984, no God for me. Tragically, that is, if not the actual words of many, like the fool of Psalm 14, that's what's in their heart. They are saying, as the people in Job's day were saying. If you turn to Job chapter 21, you will see there that Job is doing what other good men have very unwisely done. He's looking around at the prosperity of the wicked on every hand, and he sees them prospering. He sees some of them living out long lives. And he says of them that the wicked say unto God, depart from us, for we desire not the knowledge of thy ways. What is the Almighty that we should serve him? And what profit shall there be if we pray unto him? And that disturbed Job, as naturally it would. In the next chapter, chapter 22 of the book of Job, we have Job's friend Eliphaz talking to Job. And he says, now, in other words, after many other things, he says this, as it were, Job, that's the way it always has been. That's what people have always been saying. And he says, hast thou marked the old way which wicked men have trodden, whose foundation was overflown with a flood, who said unto God, depart from us. What can the Almighty do for them? And that, of course, Eliphaz was thinking of those who lived in the days of Noah. And they were saying, as in Job's day, they were saying to God, depart from us. Just let us alone. Just let us take our own way and live our own life and do our own thing. People think they're modern when they talk like that today. They're antediluvian. They're just exactly in the same mold as the people of Noah's day were. Depart from us. We desire not the knowledge of thy ways. What can the Almighty do for us? What profit shall we have if we serve him? And so tragically, today, there are still many that want to leave God out of their life altogether. Because that verse that I have quoted from the 22nd chapter of Job, referring to the people in the days of the flood, that is linked very closely with our day. For you remember that our Lord said, as you have in Luke's Gospel, chapter 23, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. And so if back in Noah's day, the majority of people were saying to God, now depart from us. Just leave us alone, please. We don't want you in our life interfering with us. We can expect there'll be that attitude today. And I think we have that manifested on every hand. But let's turn from that negative and let's think of the positive. In the beginning, God. My concern this morning And the reason I'm on this platform speaking to you here in this congregation, and your friends out there listening by radio, the reason I'm here is this. I would like to know that every one of you is beginning 1984 with God. For my friend, if you're not, you're making the biggest mistake of your life. And you can't expect anything but trouble and tragedy. Oh, you say, I'm going to prosper. Maybe you will. Maybe you'll prosper materially. Maybe things will seem to go well with you. But remember what Eliphaz said about the people in Noah's day? They were cut down at a time whose foundation was overflown with a flood. You see, my friend, those people's foundation was all in this world. And when the flood came, it swept away everything that they had and everything they were resting on. That's a tragedy. My friend, if you go into this new year without God, there is the terrible possibility that 84 may see you cut down out of time with no foundation under your eternal soul to be launched out into eternity without God and without Christ and without hope. Maybe you're saying, well, what will it mean? What does it mean for me to begin this year with God? In the beginning, God. Well, how can that be true of me? I want it to be. I don't want to say to God, depart from me. I want God in my life. I want God in my home. I want God in my heart. Now, how can that be? Well, then, my friend, you need to say, first of all, like Mary, the mother of Jesus, my spirit hath rejoiced in God, my Savior. You know, at this Christmas season that we've just come through, as always, we've heard a lot of superstitious tradition regarding Mary, the mother of Jesus. She is to be honored, according to the Word of God, above all women, as the chosen vessel through whom our Lord was brought into this world. All honor to her as the mother of Jesus Christ. But Mary was a sinner, just like you and me. How do I know? She told me. She did? Yes, she told me in Luke's Gospel chapter 2. She said, my spirit hath rejoiced in God the Savior. No. My spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. Mary, do you mean to say you need the Savior? I certainly did. Then you must have been a sinner. I certainly was. But my spirit is rejoicing. I'm happy. In whom? In God, my Savior. Do you want to begin 1984 with God? Then, my friend, you have to make the confession that Mary made. God, my Savior. Not the Savior, thank God he's that. Not the great Savior, thank God he's that. Not the only Savior, he is the only Savior. But thank God he's mine. He's like the little boy that for Christmas got a new watch, got a new knife. And he was showing the other fellows about his new knife. And one of them said, let me see it. So he took it. And he looked at it. And he said, that's a good knife. Look at the handle on it. Yeah, said his buddy next to him as he took hold of it. He said, look, it's got two blades. And he opened up the two blades. And the third boar took hold of it, and he said, yeah, boy, they're sharp. They're really sharp. Well, it was getting a little bit too far away from the owner. So he reached on over and took hold of it. He said, yeah, it's mine. It's mine. That's it. Yes, he's the only Savior. He's a great Savior. But thank God he's my Savior. And for 77 years, I've been able to say now, by the grace of God, he's my Savior. That's what it means to begin another year, whether it's 1984, they're talking about 84 is going to be this year and that year, the next year, you know. People who put a lot more confidence in fictional writing than they do the inspired writing are talking about what all is going to happen in 84. Well, my friend, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen in 84. Just exactly what God wants to happen. And that gives me perfect peace. Because I can say he's God, my Savior. But then you not only should be able to say that with Mary, but you should be able to say with David, as he says in the 18th Psalm, the Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my strength, in whom I will trust. Now, if Mary's words made our oath and were able to say, God, my Savior, if that gives to us and enables us to start this year with the assurance of salvation. Not hoping, not expecting, but knowing the absolute assurance of salvation. Then, if we're able to say with David, in the words I've quoted from Psalm 18, verse 2, we are able to start this year with God as our security. There are dangers ahead. Want to be a fool to close their eyes to that? There are going to be difficulties. But it's wonderful when you can say, the Lord is my rock. Things are solid underneath. And my fortress, things are strong all around. And my deliverer, one time he's going to come and take me out of the whole thing altogether. In whom I will trust. I tell you, friends, to have the assurance of salvation and the assurance of security means everything beginning 1984. But then let's go just a little further. If we're going to be able to say in the beginning, God will not only know Christ as our Savior and our security, but we'll go with the Apostle Paul to Romans chapter 8, and we'll be able to say with him, if God be for us, who can be against us? And that's one of my favorite verses. That's a verse that's brought me through a lot of things these past 77 years. If God be for us, who can be against us? I'd rather have God with me, my friends, going into 1984 than anything or anyone else. Because, you see, if we're able to say with Mary, God my Savior, then we have the assurance of salvation. If we're able to say with David, God my rock and my fortress, we're going to 84 with the assurance of security. And if we're able to say with Paul, if God be for us, who can be against us? We're going into 84 with the assurance of success. For my friends, God and one make a majority. When Noah went in the ark, he was in a pitiful minority. I don't know how many people were outside the ark, but I know how many were inside, just 8 of them. But you know, when that door, I was going to say that door opened, it never did. That would have been a blunder. The door never opened. Why? Because God shut it. You couldn't open it from the outside, you couldn't open it from the inside. I've talked to some people who believe you could be lost again. And I quoted to them the words of the Lord in John 10:28. The Lord said, no man is able to pluck them out of my hand. And they said to me, yes, but I can pluck myself out of his hand. I said, pardon me, I thought you were a man. Pardon me. It said, no man shall be able to pluck them out of my hand. You couldn't get out the door of the ark from the inside or the outside. You never read of it being open because it says God shut him in. I tell you, my friends, when God shuts you in the ark of safety, you're there to stay. How did Noah get out? It says he took off the covering. He took off the covering. I don't know exactly what that means. You ask Noah when you see him. And he'll explain it all to you. But he took off the covering. But anyway, when Noah came out over the covering, he was in the majority. Yes, and God's people today are in the minority. But thank God we're going to be in the majority in the coming day. And our Lord Jesus Christ shall rule and reign in this whole vast universe to the glory of our God eternally. My, it's good to begin 1984 with the assurance of salvation, the assurance of security, and the assurance of success. My friend, if you've got God with you, come what may, you'll come out on top. Because he who is with God is always on the winning side. There have been a great many poems written regarding the new year. Some have already been shared with us. I think my favorite is this one. I said to the man at the gate of the year, ahead it is dark, and the unknown I fear. Oh, give me a light to carry with me, that I may be safe, and the way I may see. He answered, go forth, with no lamp and no rod, and put forth thy hand in the hand of thy God. For that shall be better than light of the day, safer by far than any known way. I trust that every one of you listening to me this morning will put out your hand into the hand of God. Now, if you're unsaved, put out an empty hand. For you can't bring anything to God for your salvation. Absolutely nothing. The old hymn is true, nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling, naked come to thee for dress, helpless look to thee for grace. Foul I to the fountain fly, wash me, Savior, or I die. Nothing in my hand. And when you put out an empty hand of faith, offering God nothing, some people have told me their supposed conversion. I told God if he'd save me, I'd do this and that and the next thing. And I said to them, my friend, God didn't listen to you for 1 minute. God's not in the bargain business. God's in the gift business. And he gives you a gift and you take it free for nothing. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You reach out the empty hand of faith with nothing in it, and you take hold of Christ. You say, he's mine. He's mine. And if you are saved, as possibly the majority of you listening to me this morning are, if you're saved, let us also reach out the empty hand of consecration. Because that's what consecration really is. It's an empty hand reached out to God, and God puts into that what he wants there. What does God want me to do in 1984? I don't know yet. But I've got my empty hand out. Whatever God puts in that, by his grace, I shall do. Consecration is a hand filled by God. Dedication is giving back to God what he has put in your hand. And so, as it were this morning, as we face 1984, we should reach out our hand. Reach out the hand to the Lord Jesus Christ and claim him as Savior. Say, he's mine. Then you can go through the whole year praising God, he's my Savior. There was a man, a poor fisherman, out with his boat, his little rowboat, trying to catch a few fish. And he was run down. His boat was run down by a steamer, a small river steamer. But standing on the bridge of that steamboat was the captain. And from that bridge, without a second thought, he dived into the river. He swam to that struggling fisherman. He laid hold on him and held him until they brought a boat and took the two of them in. From that time on, every time that fisherman was out in his little boat, and he'd hear the blast of the steamer's horn, and the big boat would come into sight down the stream, the poor fisherman would stand up in his little boat. He'd point to the bridge, to that man standing up there in all his captain's regalia, and he'd say, to anybody or to nobody, he'd say, there he is. There he is. He saved me. And I love to point him out. That'd be a good way to go through 84, wouldn't it? Just to tell people with whom we come in contact, he saved me. And I love to point him out. If you and I will do that, this year, then, will be a good year. It'll be a successful year. But you know, I cannot conclude this message to you on the best beginning, the only wise beginning for 1984, without reminding you of something I feel needs to be emphasized in the day in which we live. If you're going to have in the beginning God, you must come to God through Jesus Christ. Now, we're living in a day when increasingly there is a tremendous influence being brought to bear on people to recognize as they say all gods. My friends, listen. Paul wrote in one of his last letters, there is one God. That's the message of the Old Testament. And again, the evangelical prophet Isaiah heralded out that truth in his ministry. There is one God, the true God, Jehovah. Paul went on to write to Timothy, New Testament truth. There's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. You say, I come to God through Confucius. No, you don't. You grope around in the darkness and you'll never find God through Confucius. You say, I come to God through Muhammad. No, you don't. You don't get anywhere near God through Muhammad. You say, I come to God through Mary. You don't come anywhere near God through Mary. There is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And he stood one day, as John records in his Gospel, chapter 14 and verse 6. He stood one day and he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He's the way, my friend, not a way, but the way, the only way to God is through Jesus Christ. You say that sound dogmatic. I hope it does. That's the way I intended it to be. If I could think of any other way to be more dogmatic, I'd say it. But I can't think of it. We must stop beating around the bush today, and I believe increasingly we Christians are going to have to stand up for what we believe. I'm getting sick and tired of all this weak-kneed, spineless, caving in to those who want to deny God and Jesus Christ. It makes me sick. Just makes me sick at the stomach and everywhere else that I get sick. When in this city here, we've got a Sunday school, we've got a school superintendent who refused to allow Jesus Christ to be sung about at Christmas because of one objection. What about me? I object to being stopped. Haven't I got as much right to object as the other fellow? But that's the trouble. We've got to give in. Peace at any price. Now, I think the challenge to us Christians is this. The more we see of that, and there's going to be more of it, but the more we see of it, let's stand up for Jesus Christ. Let it be known where we stand. Like the old lady during the war, when the soldiers marched by, and she picked up her broom and put over her shoulder and fell in behind and marched right along with them. They said to her, Granny, what do you think you can do with that broom so I can show what side I'm on? I tell you, some of us need to get our brooms out and show what side we're on to let them know we belong to Jesus Christ, and that those who belong to Jesus Christ appreciate that more than anything else. All right? In the beginning. Now, you may forget most of what I said. You won't forget my thanks. In the beginning, God. Make sure that is your start, my friend. Now, our brother Andrews will conclude the service on the broadcast.
very much, Mr. McKay, for that opening message of the new year. Very concise, very clear. Anyone out in radio land here listening, I know you know what it means to put your hand in the hand of God and to pray this prayer. Oh, God, I want to be led by you. I want to be taught by you. I want to be instructed by you. I want to be used by you in 1984. I want to know without a shadow of doubt you're mine and I am thine. I think you understand that this morning. If not, we'd still like to give any one of you the opportunity to just stay behind, remain on the seat where you are, or come up front if you'd like to and talk with any of us about how God can be your Savior and the shepherd of your life. Let us sing number 282 as we conclude our morning service. We do invite each one of you back this evening at 7:30 for our program here in this auditorium and Wednesday night as well. But let us stand and sing number 282, He Leadeth Me. May this be true in your heart and life and mind.
He leadeth me, O blessed God, O word with heavenly comfort brought. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still with God's hand He leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me, by His own hand He leadeth me. His faith of Father I would be, for by His hand He leadeth me.
Our brother Andy Chandler from Chattanooga, if he'll dismiss us. Brother Chandler.